Good morning. First of all, I think I may have snuck into this session, as lepto is neither vector-borne nor a vaccine's an effective control measure in humans. Nevertheless, it is a notifiable condition, and I know many of us in the room have been having conversations about how we can improve the infrastructure of national surveillance. So to add to this conversation, I'll be presenting CDC data on this rare but high consequence pathogen. So leptospirosis is a bacterial disease described as the most widespread zoonosis in the world. Transmission to humans occurs through contact with the urine of infected animals or contaminated environments. Lepto cases have historically been associated with occupational exposures. However, emerging risk groups include individuals who have recreational contact with fresh water or animal contact in household environments. So clinical manifestations can range from subclinical to severe multi-organ infections, and those who present with the more severe symptoms are the majority of identified cases. So national surveillance allows our group to study these range of symptoms, monitor risk factors, and evaluate regional serovars. Lepto is reportable in over 30 jurisdictions, including Puerto Rico, and was listed as a nationally notifiable condition up until 1994, but was removed between 95 and 2012. So the following represents a first look at national leptospirosis data since it was reinstated as notifiable. For the purposes of this assessment, I took a look at NNDSS data, lepto case report forms, and diagnostic testing requests submitted to CDC. A review of all three data sources revealed 72 probable and confirmed cases across 12 jurisdictions in 2013 and 114 cases across 18 jurisdictions in 2014. The largest case burdens for both years were observed in Hawaii and Puerto Rico. Also of interest within this data set is a difference in affected age groups. If we look at the U.S. excluding Puerto Rico, individuals ages 20 to 29 were more heavily affected with a median age of 31.5. However, in Puerto Rico, the median age of infection was 50 years. This may underscore a difference in risk factors attributable to recreational exposure in younger adults in the U.S. versus older adults being exposed through livestock ownership or routine exposure to contaminated soil or water in Puerto Rico. So in the 2 years, CDC conducted diagnostic testing for 120 individuals. 45 had positive lab results, 11 presumptive, and 34 confirmatory. And exposure information was provided for 25 of those cases. CDC also received 5 unique case report forms that were not linked to any of these tested cases. So in total, we had exposure information for 30 cases, noting that the reports may have cited one or more potential sources for exposure. So there were 7 occupational exposures, including veterinarians, pet store workers, farmers, and even one livestock cowboy from Texas. Recreational exposures included kayaking, swimming, and camping, with over half citing outdoor activity in Hawaii. Avocational exposure included pet ownership and contact with rodent feces in the home. So you can see that we are left to draw our national picture with very limited information, but the data does correspond with well-established epidemiologic characteristics. We see the shift from occupational exposure to recreational and avocational exposure. And this shift may help explain why younger adults are more affected in the U.S., with older adults being affected in Puerto Rico. And 3, in order to monitor these epidemiologic changes over time, we need to build a more robust surveillance strategy for this disease. So this requires collaboration within CDC to build notification systems that provide data beyond 13 core variables, and collaboration between CDC and states to understand surveillance needs beyond Hawaii and Puerto Rico. And in the meantime, continue enhanced data collection through case report forms. So one way that CDC is hoping to increase the visibility of leptospirosis is by launching Lepto Awareness Day next May in areas where the disease is endemic but under-recognized. The promotion of this day can be used by the public health community to call attention to gaps in epi research, surveillance, diagnostic and laboratory capacity, and mechanisms for disease control. So please feel free to reach out if your organization participates. And with that, I'd like to thank my colleagues and mentors at CDC, and of course, all of the states that continue to send us data. Thank you.